WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, August 9th, 2016. We've got a fun-filled hour in store for each and every one of our listeners out there. On today's show, of course, we will recap what took place yesterday at Spartan Stadium at Michigan State Football Media Day. A long day it was, folks, as the defense and offense talked, as well as the special teams. Mark D'Antonio opened with a 30-minute press conference. We will bring to you our coverage from yesterday's Media Day festivities. You don't want to miss that. Also, a big name in the world of sports is now turning his attention from becoming a broadcaster. He was a former NFL player, but to now the game of baseball. We'll tell you who that is. And speaking of baseball, the Detroit Tigers had a tough one last night against the Seattle Mariners. We'll recap that. And on the back end of the show, we will have an Olympic update from our very own Seth Kinker. And we will say goodbye to our two fantastic summer interns, Sierra Pryor and Bria Thompson. And speaking of C and Bri, they join me right now for our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Without further ado, here we go. All right, folks, as aforementioned, Media Day for the MSU football team was held at the Tom Izzo Family Media Center at Spartan Stadium for the squad yesterday afternoon. 10th-year head coach. Can't believe Mark D'Antonio is now entering his 10th season as the head coach of the Spartans. He began Media Day with a 30-minute press conference at the main podium after reporters talked with defensive players and coaches for 45 minutes, followed by the offensive staff and players. That morning, the Spartans held their third practice of the preseason camp and their first in shell drills. Now, the team returns to practice today before putting on the pads for the first time tomorrow. The Detroit Tigers couldn't fend off right-handed pitcher Hisashi Iwakuma. The Tigers had five hits, all singles, and one walk over seven innings against Iwakuma, who struck out eight. The Tigers went on to lose 3-0 to the Seattle Mariners last night in front of a crowd of 20,000 people at Safeco Field. The Tigers failed to score a run in a game for the eighth time this season and first time since a 6-0 loss at Toronto against the Blue Jays on July 8th. Bria Thompson now joins me to talk about the Detroit Lions.
What's up, guys? The Detroit Lions take training camp on the road, something they haven't done in 15 years. The Lions have hosted training camp at their Allen Park headquarters since opening a $35 million practice facility there in 2002. But they traveled to Pennsylvania on Monday and will join the Steelers for a joint practice this afternoon at St. Vincent's College. The team will reconvene after another workout on tomorrow evening and then open up an exhibition season against each other on the Friday night at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. This is Detroit's first joint practice since joining the Panthers for one in 2000.
All right, sad news from the NFL world, specifically when it comes to a man who was with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's the last team he worked for, former NFL player. And, of course, Detroit Lions offensive line coach George Yarno has died after a lengthy battle with stomach cancer. He was just 58 years old. The Jags, the last team he worked for, made the announcement last night. He went undrafted out of Washington State and began his pro career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 1979. He also played for the Denver Gold of the USFL, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Houston Oilers. He coached the Lions offensive line from 2009 to 2012. Bree.
For the second game in the row, the United States started off slow from the tip But the United States will recover for taking home a win. This time, the United States beats Venezuela 113-69. Carmelo Anthony finished with 14 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block. With his 9th point of the night, Anthony passed Michael Jordan to be the 3rd all-time leading scorer in U.S. men's Olympic basketball history. He is now 12 points shy of setting an all-time mark. Draymond Green played 9 minutes, grabbing 4 rebounds to go with 2 points, 1 steal, and 1 assist. Paul George scored a team high of 20 points off the bench, while Kevin Durant totaled 16 points, 2 rebounds, and 4 assists. Anchored by George, the U.S. benefited from a big performance from their bench, which combined for 70 points, guys.
Olympic men's basketball.
Gotta love it.
Such a bore.
Love it.
No, I don't love it. I hate it.
I love it.
It's such a bore.
They always dominate.
113-69, I fell asleep in the first quarter. All right. Swimming star Lily King spoke out against doping following her victory in the 100-meter breaststroke final on Monday. She insisted that American athletes previously banned for drug offenses should have been kicked off the U.S. team. When asked if U.S. athletes who have fallen foul of the drug testers, such as sprinters, yes, Justin Gatlin and Tyson Gay, deserve to be in Rio, King, who's 19 years old, pulled no punches. She told USA Today, quote, "I have to respect the track authority's decision, even if it is something I don't necessarily agree with. It is just something that needs to be set in stone that this is what we are going to do. Let's settle this and be done with it. There should not be any bouncing back and forwards," end quote. Gatlin is seen as the most serious challenger to Usain Bolt's dominance in the 100 meters and will also compete in the 200 meter and 4x100 relay. Gay will run the relay only. Tim Tebow news, Bria.
Tim Tebow is thinking about baseball. Tebow has trained for the last several months in Scottsdale, Arizona and Los Angeles at a sport he hasn't played regularly for more than a decade. Tebow has served as an ESPN broadcaster since his 3rd season NFL career ended with the New York Jets at the conclusion of 2012 season. Tebow hasn't played baseball on a regular basis since 2004 as a junior in high school, where he hit .494. Some scouts noticed that Tebow's baseball talents more than a decade ago. So, good luck with that, Tebow.
The Kim Kardashian of sports, Tim Tebow. All right. To close out this thing, a U.S. appeals court ruled in favor of the 4 major professional sports leagues and the NCAA on Tuesday, denying New Jersey's quest to legalize sports betting. The U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia found that New Jersey's most recent attempt to bring Las Vegas-style sports betting to its casinos and horse racing tracks violated the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, better known as the PASPA, the 24-year-old federal prohibition on state-sponsored sports betting, I should say. After the Supreme Court denied to take the case, New Jersey passed a new version of its sports betting law that was once contested by the leagues. So, New Jersey, good try, but uh-uh. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, call in to be a part of today's show. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in via our Twitter pages. You can tweet me at AlMartinWKAR or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Without further ado, let's start the show.
You play basketball?
Yes, sir.
How often?
Well, we play from signing date until we start spring practice.
So you play a lot?
We play pickup at least 3 days a week. But I'm the commissioner of the league now. You know, at my age, I get to pick my team, and then I pick the guy on the other team who guards me.
So which probably would be now, as big and fat as I am.
No, you'd be on my team.
Oh, okay. You pass the ball?
Absolutely, I play the point. When Avery came here, you know, I know he played 13 years as a point guard, but when he came in, I said, look, if you want to play noontime basketball with us, You're going to have to move over off the ball because I'm the point guard. You're going to have to play two guard.
So you're just a passing guy. You're not a three-point shooter.
They didn't have a three-point shot when I played.
They have it now.
Yeah, but I can't shoot it. I mean, I grew up playing where you got to get a good shot.
What if somebody takes a hard foul on Coach Saban?
Well, most of the guys I'm playing with work for me. So you could get fired.
Is that what happened to Kirby Smart?
No. Hey, Kirby was always on my team.
Oh, okay.
Kirby could shoot.
Oh, okay. Hey, Coach, thank you for taking your time.
All right, Charles.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks.
Oh, boy, and that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Tuesday. And as you all know, I love to start the show with the most interesting thing I've seen in the world of sports in the past 24 hours. And I had to start with this one, okay? There was no other way to start the show than this one, folks. Charles Barkley and Nick Saban together sitting down for a one-on-one interview. I don't know whose idea this was, but it's a genius idea, okay? Oh, my goodness. That's fun. That's fun stuff, all right? If you did not get a chance to check out part one of the interview, I just want to play the funniest part of the interview. Alabama.com, AL.com, they're the ones that came up with the bright idea to sit these two down, and it is golden, folks. Golden. I think part two airs sometime later on today, but it's so cool because, you know, you have a Hall of Famer in Barkley who played at Auburn sitting down with a legendary college football coach, and many believe that when his career is all said and done at Alabama, he will go down as the greatest college football coach of all time. And Nick Saban, of course, Nick Saban has direct ties here to Michigan State. As Saban, during the infancy of his college head coaching career, he started right here at Michigan State. And, you know, then went to Isaac's LSU Tigers. And now with Bama, he's done a remarkable job, one of the greatest to ever do it. So to sit these two personalities down, and you have Barkley, you know, conducting the interview to Saban, and it's just really, really cool. You know, Saban walks into, because they did it in the basketball gym, and you have Saban walks in with two Alabama Crimson Tide polos, and of course, Barkley went to Auburn, you know, the rival school of Alabama, and Barkley has on this Auburn straw hat, and he's like, Coach, you know I can't wear that. You know I can't wear that. I may wear it around the house, all right? So it starts off just hilarious, and they just kind of go through Barkley kind of goes through what makes Saban just a great coach. He even goes into, you know, just off the beaten path of your normal sports chatter and asks Coach Saban if he can cook, does he play pickup basketball, and Saban, that's remarkable. Saban at his age to get out there and play pickup basketball three times out the week, that's pretty cool. That's pretty fun stuff. So Saban is a man who's clearly in good shape. But the most comical part about that whole snippet was that Saban, you know, he's the quote-unquote commissioner of the league. So he chooses how the teams are split up, and he chooses who guards him. How fun is that? Gotta love that. If you haven't checked out that interview, again, just simply Google Nick Saban and Charles Barkley sit down, and it will instantly pop up. It will brighten your day. If you're feeling a bit down today, that will instantly brighten your day, folks. And we plan on brightening your day with a fantastic hour of sports talk right here on WKAR's Current Sports. And let's start with Media Day. Yes, Media Day is always a fun one because you get to hear, you know, locally, the, you know, from just both sides, every side, every angle of the spectrum for the Michigan State college football team. You hear from, of course, head coach Mark D'Antonio. You get to hear from other members of the coaching staff, the offensive and defensive coordinators. And then you get to hear from the offense, defense, and the special teams. It is a full-on, just nonstop affair of questions left and right, and filled with a lot of fun. You know, we try to, you know, I at least try to kind of go off from your regular, who's the quarterback going to be? You know, what's the defense looking like? From just your regular X's and O's talk and really try to get to know these guys. So myself, along with current sports engineer Isaac Constance, literally right after we got off the air on yesterday's radio show, we booked it from the College of Communication Arts and Sciences, where we record current sports radio and TV, to Spartan Stadium, which is right down the street. And when we got there, it was around 2:15. We got there around 2. We got there around 2:15, and of course, Mark D'Antonio was still up there fielding questions about his squad. And there were many takeaways. There were many takeaways. Nothing out there that you already didn't hear about in Chicago during Big Ten media days. But what I will say is, when it comes to the biggest question throughout this year's training camp, who is going to be the quarterback for the Michigan State football team, right now, it is Tyler O'Connor's job to lose. If all reads well, from what we heard yesterday at MSU Media Day, Tyler O'Connor will be starting against Furman on September 2nd at Spartan Stadium. It's his job to lose. His job to lose, folks. He has outplayed Damian Terry. And to be honest with you, I mean, when from an outside looking in perspective, we've seen more from Tyler O'Connor than Damian Terry and the rest of the quarterback core. You know, we saw Tyler O'Connor come in when Connor Cook had that shoulder injury. And Tyler O'Connor came in and actually led the team down the field for a touchdown. So, you know, we've seen more from Tyler O'Connor. And, you know, he was asked about his leadership abilities yesterday at Media Day. And he talked about how, you know, he feels like he was born to be a leader and how he's not going to squander this opportunity to now lead this team. So barring, if I had to put a percentage on it, I would say that there's a 95% chance that Tyler O'Connor is going to be your starting quarterback to start this Michigan State football year. I leave a 5% cushion because, if you know, you never know. Crazy things happen in sports. You know, maybe Tyler gets injured, you know, or Damian Terry just has, you know, just turns it up to 100 and has a phenomenal training camp and outplays Tyler O'Connor. I'll leave that cushion, that 5% cushion, just for that. But right now, I don't see any reason why Tyler O'Connor is not going to be the starting quarterback for this Michigan State team come that first game against Furman. Just saying. So that was a big takeaway. Also, when it comes to the defense, we know that there are some question marks concerning this Michigan State defense, in particular, the secondary. Of course, you know, the defensive line has some holes as well, but I think when you have an All-American guy like Malik McDowell, you're going to be just fine. You're going to be fine, all right? But that secondary gave up a lot of big plays, a lot of big plays last year. I mean, you can look at the Michigan State and Alabama college football playoff alone, you know, that, you know, the 38-0 blowout. There were many big plays that secondary just gave up time and time again. And it was pretty clear that walking away from that college football playoff game, that Michigan State, if they did not shore up that secondary, they would not stop with the big dogs come next season. And you talk about the turnover for this Michigan State football team. That's been well documented leading up to training camp. Well documented. A lot of leadership gone from last year's team. And this is going to be a year with all of the turnover to see if this Michigan State football team rolls over or stands up and says, you know what, we got guys that can fill those voids. So that was a big question as well. I right now want to play a snippet from my report, which you can view right now on WKAR.org, my report from Media Day at Spartan Stadium. Right now you'll get to hear from members of the defense as well as head coach Mark D'Antonio. And here's what they had to say.
It's a statement for your program that you're here to stay. Again, I'll go back to what you talk about, your culture. You know, culture is consistency, whether that's winning or losing. It's doing something over and over. So right now we have a culture of winning. We need to continue that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the younger guys already in the first, you know, 3 days have stepped up, and they're being vocal. On defense, we got a lot of guys who, you know, who are willing to step up and, you know, say that and give that leadership.
Our first 2 years, we're the 1-2 dip is how I describe it. Good year 07, good year 08, took a dip in 09. good year 10, good year 11, took a dip in 12. We had a good year 13, good year 14, so we were going in last year. I said, is this going to be a dip year or not? And it wasn't a dip year. We went to the playoffs.
This is another year where you guys are coming off a Big Ten championship season, yet you're picked third to finish in the Big Ten East. Do you guys listen to that noise at all when you discuss that in the locker room?
Not really.
Do you use it as motivation at all?
I mean, every now and then we'll hear about it, and it is motivation when we hear about it, but our motivation comes from within ourselves.
It doesn't really upset us. I mean, that's them. We're here. You know, we're worried about what's going on within Michigan State. We're not worried about outside, just outside teams. We're worried about us and our team.
Competition is tough. The East Division is very tough. A lot of good football teams. It's an extremely well-coached league.
So, Coach D, you know we got to ask. Do you have 10 more in you?
And the 10? I don't know about 10, but I got something left in me.
Yeah, it still blows my mind that Mark D'Antonio is entering his 10th season as the head coach of the Michigan State football team. But during that snippet, the voices that you heard throughout that snippet was, of course, Mark D'Antonio. You had Riley Bulla weigh in as well. Harlan Barnett, co-defensive coordinator for the team. Riley is a senior linebacker for the squad. And also Monte Nicholson, Michigan State junior safety, and Darian Hicks, Michigan State senior cornerback. They were all fantastic sit-downs. And, you know, I wanted to ask these respective individuals, members of that defensive secondary, whether or not they feel any pressure, because they know about the history of defenses that have played under Coach D'Antonio and how good those defenses have been, dating back to the no-fly zone. Right now, this secondary is not a no-fly zone. And it is a concern. I mean, when you go against, you know, quarterbacks out of the Big Ten East on a regular basis, and especially, you know, right now the game that I'm circling is that early test after the week two bye week against Notre Dame. That's going to be an early good test to see where this Michigan State defense is. That's going to be a fun game and also a great early test for Tyler O'Connor that will mature him as a leader, as the quarterback, assuming that he does not muck it up against Furman, which I don't see that happening. But assuming that Tyler O'Connor will be the starting quarterback against Notre Dame in that second game of the year, that's going to be a good early test just to see where this Michigan State football team is. But you heard Monte Nicholson there, you know, about whether or not you guys – do you guys feel any pressure? You know, do you guys hear the chatter about this secondary having some holes in it when looking at how they performed last year? Do you guys listen to that chatter, and do you feel any pressure? Of course they feel pressure. I knew the answer to that question when I asked it, okay? But when I asked that question, I'm more so interested in the demeanor when members of that secondary, like Darian Hicks, like Monte Nicholson, like, you know, Riley Bulla, when they answer that question, if they get annoyed by it or they take it head on and say, yeah, we listen to it, you know, hey. But, you know, we keep everything in-house, and we know where our team is right now. And I thought each and every one of those individuals did a great job of answering those questions. And I feel like this secondary is going to play with a huge chip on their shoulders. So it's going to be a fun year. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, who was also in the house for Media Day. Just starting with the defense here, Isaac, and the opening comments from Mark D'Antonio concerning the defense. I mean, what do you think about this Michigan State defense moving forward here in this 2016-17 season?
Well, and they're losing some age. They're losing some experience. There's no debating that. But this team, you know, you can only draw so much from these sort of events, but they do seem cohesive. And you've got to remember all of the injuries that plagued them last season as well, particularly in the secondary. But you also had Ed Davis, the linebacker, go down. And now you've got some serious drama within that core because you've got guys like John Reschke, Chris Frey, who all played very well, and now they're fighting for a job because, of course, Riley Bull has got his locked up, and if Davis is healthy, he'll just about assure himself a spot too. So very interesting case right there. Also, Viante Copeland. Mark D'Antonio mentioned him yesterday, saying that he lost 10 pounds. I believe he's down to 192.
Yep.
That's a big deal because that was a player who frequently was burnt his first game against Western Michigan, but made the game-clinching interception, ultimately winning MSU that game. So Deontay Copeland, just a freshman last year. I think he's got a lot of potential. And like I said, he was burnt losing that weight for a guy who set the Ohio record for the 400-meter dash. Yeah, that's going to be a good sign for him going forward. So I think this is a team maybe losing a little bit of talent, a little bit of experience. But at the same time, there's a lot of players under the rocks that you can't sleep on.
I want to also bring up what I found to be one of the most interesting quotes said throughout MSU Media Day. I want to bring up what Harlan Barnett, co-defensive coordinator, said during that snippet as well. And Harlan talked about the third-year dip, you know, have a good year in 2010, have a great year in 2011, then you have a dip in 2012 as you make a transition from a lot of senior leadership to guys who have to come into new roles. A good year in 13, a good year in 14. Are you going to dip in 15? And that didn't happen. Michigan State turned it up, actually, and made the college football playoff. But in many regards, this is going to be a year that is going to test the Michigan State football team because you have a lot gone, a lot absent from last year's squad who made the Final Four. And the test of a great program is how you deal with change, how you deal with transition, and can you sustain that success, and can you bring in guys from your heralded recruiting classes in recent years who won't be in awe of the big stage. And I think that in 2015, Michigan State going through a similar period where they lost a lot, and you heard this talk about, okay, well, they're losing, you know, so much on both sides of the football. Can they combat that? You know, who's going to step into those new roles? And I think that in 2015, this squad not dipping off and falling off the edge of the cliff and actually getting better is a testament to what D'Antonio has been trying to build throughout his tenure as the head coach of this football team. And you heard those individuals address that throughout that piece as well. Here's also, I want to play a snippet from the secondary as well, talking about their overall feeling about where they need to improve at. And again, you'll hear starting off from Coach D'Antonio.
I think we have the players in place to be as good or better than last year. Yeah, I do. You know, we've got some guys that are younger players that need to fill in. Our freshman class, defensive line wise, is got to learn. But you can see they're very unique players with certain skill sets. But you know, after one day of shells, it's a little bit too difficult to say, okay, who's going to help us, who's not going to help us at this point in time. That's new. But I do think our linebacker group and our secondary group has experience. And experience is not just playing in one game, it's being able to adjust from game to game to game. And I think that we're able to do that. They have a lot of playing time and minutes behind them, and that should come into play in the process here.
We feel pressure, but not where people expect it to come from. People expect it to come from outside and, you know, all the media and everything, but we put pressure on ourselves to be the best. You know, we put pressure on ourselves to be perfect. We strive for greatness. You know, being good isn't good enough. You know, so to answer your question, yes, we do feel pressure, but it's in-house, because, you know, last year we gave up so many explosive plays, and a lot of those were because of our DBs. And this year we plan on eliminating those, so that doesn't happen. We plan on eliminating all big plays, explosive plays. And, you know, but, you know, the game will go on, things happen, but that's our mindset, no big plays. And that's just how we'll take it.
As Coach D says, we have to get 3% better each practice, and I believe that we will always do that. I believe that by the end of this camp, we will all, each and every player will have gotten 3% better each time they're on the field.
How far do you think, Darian, this secondary is from being where it needs to be come the very start of the year?
We're not far at all. I mean, we just gotta, you know, have a couple more practices. We gotta, you know, just obviously, you know, put in the extra work. You know, we gotta obviously apply what's being taught in the film and apply it to the field. And then we also gotta just go out there and just play ball. You know, we gotta be relentless out there.
And that last voice you heard was Darian Hicks. The one previously to that was Monte Nicholson, and of course, head coach Mark D'Antonio. And I must say, and Isaac, you agree with this as well, by far
my favorite sit-down interview during media day had to be Monte Nicholson. I had no idea how good on camera, how good with the media Monte Nicholson is. I mean, he's so open. He elaborates on his points. I was impressed. I haven't really spoken to Monte like that until yesterday, and my jaw was on the floor.
Yeah, with sports athletes, there are usually two types of people.
I find.
And those are the ones that give you the prosaic answers, the ones that you expect and you can make a bite with at the same time. It's not going to tell you anything. Mm-hmm. And the ones who either do something great or terrible. You've got your Marshawn Lynch's and you got your Monte Nicholson's. And Monte Nicholson was superb. He gave us a lot of insight. And it wasn't superficial whatsoever.
No,
it was all
real.
Heartfelt.
Yeah.
It was good insight into what this team's going to do next year.
And that's what really impressed me. I mean, I'm sitting there and I remember interviewing Monte last year, but I don't remember him being that open.
Well, did you see Blake Griffin stand up by chance?
I did. I heard about it, though. So, I heard about it.
Part of the premise was Blake Griffin got up on a stage and he was saying, okay, I want you to do 50 push-ups, 25 jumping jacks, and, you know, some pull-ups or whatever. And then I'm going to ask you a series of hard questions, and I want to see how you answer. He was kind of just mocking how the media, maybe rightfully so, pressures these people into answering questions after such excruciating physical activity where they're drained.
Though. Well, he was poking fun at it, but
he was poking fun.
There are many athletes who, right after games, who knock interviews out the park, okay?
That's true.
Knock them out the park.
But it does make it tougher. It definitely does.
Yeah,
I'm
sure it does after you know, participating on a huge level of athletics, like an NBA basketball game. You have to do an interview 5 minutes after that. I mean, that's got to be tough stuff. But there are some guys who handle it with stride and some that aren't just good with the media. I mean, that's just how it is. But, you know, Monte Nicholson, he will have no problem this upcoming season, I tell you that. But I want you all to circle a date, though, because, you know, you mentioned Ed Davis, Isaac. MSU will find out on August 18th. That's a big date for Ed Davis because that's when people will find out whether Ed Davis successfully completed his academic requirements and will be back for a sixth year. If he returns, it will really change and shift MSU's defense moving forward, which again, as I stated, which last year really suffered from not having a disruptive playmaker at strong side linebacker. Ed Davis can be that guy for the Michigan State football team. You know, and moving forward, this team has to stay healthy. Speaking of Davis and the injury, health is so big, so important throughout the course of a Saturday to Saturday, week to week basis for any college football team. This team is going to have to stay healthy if they want a shot at any type of success like they had last year. So that's going to be something to watch as well. On the offensive end, there are a lot of question marks, though. With Tyler O'Connor, I think he will be, as I stated, he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Michigan State football team when they open a season against Furman on September 2nd. But with that being said, there are a few things that I'm worried about when it comes to the Michigan State offense. I will elaborate on those after we hit our first break. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. What you say? That you only meant well, but of course you did. What you say? Jason Derulo. That it's all for the best, of course it is. Welcome back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we are chatting about Michigan State Football Media Day, which took place yesterday afternoon at Spartan Stadium. Isaac Constance, Current Sports Engineer, as well as myself, we were there bringing you all coverage that we've been playing throughout today's show. Before we move forward and talk about question marks for the Michigan State offense, again, we're taking your calls, 517 517- 855-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports or by tweeting us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at our official Current Sports Twitter page at WKAR_sports, which our very own Seth Kinker is manning as we speak. Let's go to line one right now, though. We've got a caller. Our dear friend Ray from Indiana is calling in. Ray, what's up, my man?
Hey, I got a trivia question for you.
Oh, I love trivia questions. What is it?
You know the Hall of Shame down there, right?
The Hall of Shame.
I call them the Hall of Shame down there instead of Hall of Fame.
Okay,
Hall of Shame. Who's the only guy that's never been in the Hall of Fame that's a two-time MVP of the league and it's been rejected twice?
I already know.
Drew Bledsoe, right?
No, not
No, I'm kidding.
Kurt Warner. That's the answer to that.
You're pretty good. You're pretty smart.
I know. Ray, you're calling every day vying for Kurt Warner to get into the Hall of Fame. I pretty much know. When I see your name flash across my timeline here, I pretty much know exactly where the conversation is going every single time.
I want to see that movie. I'm running out of years, my friend. I run 5 miles. I just did my 5 miles, 200 push-ups, 3/4 mile backwards. But, I'm be 67 in 2 more weeks. I got to get him in here pretty quick.
Oh, that's a blessing, first off, to knock on the door of the 60s. That's fantastic stuff, Ray. Keep working out, man. That'll add a lot more years into that lifespan, dude.
Well, I know. I want to talk about the Bullies every year, you know.
I'm sure you do. Do you want to weigh in on anything college football related, Ray?
Yeah, you guys had your picture. I mean, what do you call it? Your media day. Michigan already have theirs?
Yeah, that was Sunday. Michigan's was Sunday. Yeah. Michigan State's was yesterday. Yeah.
You know, I can't explain to me. I know Harbaugh is really out there giving them publicity year round.
Mm-hmm.
But how could you rank that team ahead of Alabama? They're going to win a national title.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. I think that's really jumping the gun. I think just everybody, as I stated on yesterday's show, Ray, everybody is buying into the Jim Harbaugh hype. I mean, this is a Michigan's team that that still, they don't know who their quarterback is going to be. So I don't know how you can make an assumption like that with that huge question mark glaring for them. Defensive side of the ball, they're going to be a great team. And that is going to keep them in games every single week. But I think more so, and again, no one knows. When you read these preseason college football polls, nobody knows how good these teams are going to be. So don't read much into it, Ray. Don't flip a wig over it.
They got to play at Iowa, Michigan State, Ohio State.
But then again,
they can lose any of those three games.
But then again, Ray, that Michigan college football schedule is so lollipop. It is such a walk in the park. The only two games that I'm worried about for Michigan, they should be 7-0 when they meet Michigan State at Spartan Stadium. And then, after that game, all they got to worry about is the final game of the year when they have to go to Ohio Stadium to play the Ohio State Buckeyes. So
that schedule. You don't think Iowa can beat them?
No, Iowa's not beaten. Even though I like Iowa, they're the favorites in the Big Ten West, but the Big Ten West is nothing compared to the Big Ten East, okay? I like Iowa a lot, don't get me wrong. And I think Iowa will probably reach Indy yet again to play in the Big Ten championship game. But at the same time, Iowa plays in the West, Ray.
They got to play at Iowa.
I know. They have to play Iowa, Michigan State, as well as Ohio State all on the road. But at the same time,
how good is this linebacker you're talking about? August 18th, you're going to find out if you get him a linebacker.
What are you talking about for Jabril Peppers?
Ed Davis,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, Ed Davis. Oh, Michigan State's Ed Davis. Yeah. Ed Davis, again, when you go through an injury like he had last year, the big question mark for me, I just want to see him out there on the field. I don't know how healthy he is. I mean, anytime you go through an injury like that, it's hard to come back and to get back into football rhythm. That's going to be a big question mark. So I can't say how good Ed Davis is going to be when he returns. But he will make that linebacker core better, I do believe, Ray.
Well, how good's your offensive line going to be this week?
That's where I was going. That's where I was going right after we finished your call. When it comes to the offense for Michigan State, I feel like there's question marks on the offensive line, despite the fact that I think Tyler O'Connor has potential to be a good quarterback for the Michigan State football team, but you got to have protection for him. And, you know, when you talk about this three-man, this three-headed monster in the backfield for the Michigan State running back corps in Delton Williams, L.J. Scott, and Gerald Holmes, that offensive line is going to have to open up some holes for those guys to run through.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. The games are won up front, offensive and defensive line. How's Michigan offensive and defensive line? How many players did they lose?
There's question marks on as well for Michigan, especially on the offensive line as well, Ray.
Well, that's where the games are won, my friend.
All right. My man. Ray, thanks so
Take
much
care,
for the call.
Buddy. Thank you, baby.
Go Kurt Warner. I think we all knew the answer to the trivia question, huh, Isaac?
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, I was just giving Ray a hard time, you know.
Now, I want to go to, you know, a great segue there from our caller, Ray. And again, if you want to weigh in on today's show, 517-355-WKAR, what Ray brought up, the question marks on offense, despite the whole quarterback conversation, okay? I think we're both in agreement that Tyler O'Connor is his job to lose right now. Tyler will at least be the starter in the very first game of the season for Michigan State against Furman on September 2nd. That offensive line, though, I do have question marks for, Isaac, because, you know, this is an offensive line that in recent years has been very, very good. But the loss of two All-Americans in left tackle, Jack Conklin, and also in center, Jack Allen, you'll add another NFL draft pick in that conversation with Donovan Clark now being absent from this team as well. Those are three big pieces that you are losing for this Michigan State offensive line. I understand that the running back, I'm excited to watch these running backs play next year when it comes to Delton Williams, L.J. Scott, Gerald Holmes. They all seem to be in fantastic shape. You know, D'Antonio talked about how they're all coming in lean and faster. But that offensive line has to open up holes and create opportunities for that running back core to shine and also to protect Tyler O'Connor, a man who is now thrusted in position to be a first-year starting quarterback for a Division I college football team. That's a lot of pressure, and you need protection in order to flourish in that type of environment. I got question marks for that old line. I'm not convinced that this offensive line is going to be as good as it was last year.
Well, and that's the thing. Everybody talks about running backs and quarterbacks. They don't see the hidden side of that, and that's always the offensive line. When I think of the LSU versus Bama game last year, Leonard Fournette being held to 40 yards on something like 20 carries, 25 carries, that is entirely because Alabama's defensive line, who shout out to the Detroit Lions for going out and getting A'shaun Robinson to be a part of that pro squad, but Alabama's defensive line absolutely dominated and obliterated the LSU blockers. And that was against the best running back in the country.
Right.
When you're breaking two tackles in the backfield and you've still got men swarming, you just can't do anything, whether it's a quarterback or a running back. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with this Michigan State team. Brian Allen, we know what we're getting with him. Excellent player. But at the same time, you're losing three pillars, like you said. Pillars, and it's hard to replace them.
Now, I want to make this point as well, Isaac. I don't believe that this Michigan State offensive line has to be lights out. They don't have to be All-Americans. You know what I mean? They just have to hold it down to some degree. Because I think that Williams, Scott, and Holmes are so talented that if you just give them a little bit of time, a little bit of wiggle room, they are going to make big plays. Simple as that. They don't have to be. I'm not expecting them to be Conklin and Jack Allen and Donovan Clark. I'm just expecting them to hold it down to a certain degree. And I think you brought up a few names. You know, you brought up a guy like Brian Allen at left guard. You know what you're getting with him. Fifth-year senior Cody Keeler at center. Brandon Clemens, Benny McGowan, Dennis Finley, and Miguel Machado competing at right tackle. Those are names that you're going to see time and time again that have to play just good. They don't have to be lights out All-Americans here. Just hold it down and give O'Connor, Williams, Scott, and Holmes enough time to do what they do.
Well, and the other advantage you have is Tyler O'Connor presumably being the starting quarterback. He's a senior this year.
Yeah.
He's been through the storm. He's got great pocket presence. One of the best qualities that I noticed from him last year. And guess what? If it's not Tyler O'Connor, it's Damian Terry. And we know of his escapability of the pocket. Both these quarterbacks are not Jay Cutler. They know how to stick in there, and when not, they know how to escape. It's a good combination. You're right. This team does not have to be lights out. The offensive line won't be what it was last year, but at the same time, it doesn't need to be. It just needs to be good enough.
How about we hear from O'Connor and Scott right now? Here's what they had to say, just a snippet of what they had to say during yesterday's media day.
It's been exciting for sure. We all here to work, achieve our goals, compete with one another, but also have fun and take care and support each other. But we're just, you know, looking to help one another. And I know they're definitely looking for that guy. So, you know, we just come to play and, you know, try to do our best.
Well, I can say from even back in spring ball, it's been a very excited locker room. And people say that we're a very young team, which, yeah, we are. But we have a lot of guys that have played quite a bit, myself included, and at every position, including the O-line, receivers, linebackers, DBs. So it's a very excited group because we know we have a lot of big spots to fill, a lot of spotlight guys to fill. And I think everybody's excited to have their role. And I think everybody's excited to potentially be that guy. So I think that's how everybody kind of feels right now. It definitely, it tests you. I mean, it's tough. It's easier when you've had a couple of years under your belt with the same guys and you're just going out to do it again. Necessarily this time, it's more, we all got to learn together. We all got to grow together. And it's a challenge. It definitely is. But we're very comfortable with each other now, and it's only getting better every day.
Tyler O'Connor and LJ Scott from MSU Media Day. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will talk about the Rio de Janeiro Olympics. We'll give you guys an update from last night's action and what is there to look forward to tonight. We will invite our very own Seth Kinker to have that and more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, if you want to be a part of today's show, call in 517-355-9527. Let's go to line two right now. We've got our dear friend, Jody. Do we have them? We do have them, Isaac?
Yeah, we do. We're getting them on right now. Yeah.
Right now. Okay. Isaac gave me a death stare across the window just now. Like, oh, I don't know if we have them yet. Jody from Canada is on line two. Jody, what's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. What's on your mind?
Nothing. I just wanted to talk a little bit. You know, the success of Michigan State is going to be based on one thing, and other than their receivers able to hold on to some passes, the offensive line. Because if you can't maintain your offensive line, if they can't protect, you know, for the drop back punts, the passes, and they can't create some holes, you know, you'll see some problems. You know, that was kind of exposed in the semifinal game when, you know, Alabama kind of set down, you know, the run and was able to put pressure on them. But, you know, you don't come across a team like Alabama every week, so thank goodness for that. But, you know, I think as the kids, the young boys grow, you know, against Furman and when the second game was Notre Dame, and, you know, we'll see. I think, you know, it'll be a good year because, again, we don't play, you know, other than the teams in the Big Ten and Notre Dame. We're not scheduling the Oklahomas and those things like, you know, teams used to. And not just MSU. All the teams, you know, the big boys used to schedule other big boys and, you know, not just say it was, you know, the conference is big. You know, used to see, like, when we were there, we played USC with 35 pros, you know, on the squad. You know, we didn't really spend a lot of – we didn't do the marketing, the, what do you want to call it, state marketing when we play Western and Central and things like that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I understand what everybody does. Alabama does it. State does it. Ohio State does it. But I'd just like to see it get back to where you maybe had just your top 50 teams play and had a super conference where your top 50 guys played against each other and every week was a game worth watching.
I like that. I like that idea a lot because, I mean – week one of the college football year, it's just like it's good to see football back, but then you see all these blowouts left and right. You know, I don't like it either. I just like to see these guys compete throughout the entire year and not just the middle to late of it. So I agree, Jody. I think you pretty much echoed our thoughts when it comes to the question marks when it comes to that Michigan State offensive line. And I think you bring up a good point. I'm not worried about that Michigan State wide receiver core at all. I mean, I love R.J. Shelton. You talk about Monte Medeiros, you know, sophomore Felton Davis III, true freshman Donnie Corley from the D, who is going to be a stud. I mean, I can't wait to watch Donnie Corley play. But again, you got to have the transition from quarterback to receiver has to take place. But even before that, you got to give the quarterback some time to throw the football, and that rests on the offensive line.
The offensive line and the ability to move their feet and the ability to pick up the blitzes and the ability to hear cadences when they're in crowds and all that, because that's probably one of the, and maybe because I was a lineman, I'll give it as one of the most, you got to be one of the most intelligent people out there, because you're, you know, guys, that things are happening right in front of you on the go, and you know, you're running X stunts and Y stunts and whatever you want to call them, you know, whatever name they put on them now. Mm. But you know, you run different types of stunts and different people are coming from different angles on blitzes. So you know, you have to pick all that up and know what your partner, if you're a tackle, you got to know what the guard and the center's doing. And you know, so if they can come together as a cohesive unit, I think they should be all right.
I hear you, Jody. Thanks so much. Good hearing from you.
All right, take care, man.
You got it. All right. Yeah, and I totally agree. I am not worried about these wide receivers. And I always tell the story about how I got to see Donnie Corley as a senior in high school when he made the game-winning touchdown. I believe Detroit MLK,
yep.
I believe. And, it, you know, I was there. I was broadcasting the Pullman-Westphalia football game, doing play-by-play for another station. And we were sitting there watching that. And that catch, just unbelievable. Donnie Corley is going to be a star for this team. So
another freshman, too, Cam Chambers coming in from New Jersey. Just as big in his neck of the woods. And another thing about the block, and real quick, that I think is important to mention, is the running back battle for the positioning might actually be determined by who's the better blocker of the three.
Oh, certainly.
They'll all have their games running the ball, but who can pick up the blitz? That's a big deal.
It comes down, when you have a competition that's that close, it comes down to the little things, and that's one of the little things, quote unquote. All right, well, the Olympics out in Rio de Janeiro. There have been a lot of headlines in the past 4 days of the Olympics out in Rio, and we plan on giving you guys an Olympic update each and every show until the Olympics are finito, said and done. And we plan on doing that with our very own Seth Kinker. So here we go, the Olympic update with Seth Kinker.
Just a little bit of recap. Yesterday, United States fencing team failed to have two fencers advance out of the round of 16, and the men's all-around gymnastics team failed to medal as well. However, the United States swim team continued to bring in the medals. Connor Dwyer won bronze in the men's 200-meter freestyle. Kathleen Baker won silver in the women's 100-meter backstroke. Ryan Murphy won gold in the men's 100-meter backstroke, and Lily King won gold in the women's 100-meter breaststroke. The U.S. continues to lead the medal table with 5 gold, 7 silver, and 7 bronze medals. China's in second with 13 total medals, and Japan is third with 10. Here's a look at what to watch for in day 4 of the games. The women's gymnastics team all around, they're heavily favored after concluding the qualifying round with an unheard-of 10-point lead. That begins at 3 p.m. today. Women's volleyball, the first matchup of the U.S. versus the highly anticipated U.S. versus Brazil beach volleyball matchup in Copacabana begins at 3:30. The U.S. women's national team wraps up group play against Colombia. They remain perfect after beating France 1-0 on Saturday. That begins at 6 p.m. And tonight, Michael Phelps looks to redeem himself after losing his Olympic title in the 200-meter butterfly in London. He finished second in the semifinals on Monday night, and that begins at 9 tonight.
Gotta love that. Great job, Seth. So far, and again, I know it's been only 4 days, and we still have a lot of competitions to go through. We haven't even talked about track and field yet, which is my favorite part of the Olympics. What's been the highlight of the Olympics so far, you think?
I think all the swimming storylines, honestly, it's been really impressive. You have Katie Ledecky coming in and just dominating. Michael Phelps having that, contributing to the 4x100 relay, his incredible leg. So I think the swimming has just been carrying us a lot as far as bringing in that medal count.
I have to agree with you. I mean, watching the 4x100 relay team, watching Michael Phelps, I believe he was the third leg, right?
And I think so, yeah.
Mike just turned it on. They were down. They were like in third place at that point, and Mike jumps in the water, and he's like a shark.
Incredible.
You know, it was unbelievable watching. I was jumping up and down. My dog is getting scared because you didn't know what was going on. I mean, it was nuts. So thank you so much, Seth. Appreciate that. And I also want to bring up the comments from, which we'll elaborate on tomorrow's show, swimming star Lily King speaking out following her victory in the 100-meter breaststroke final on Monday, insisting that American athletes previously banned for drug offenses should have been kicked off the United States team. I've got an interesting take on that I wish I had just 10 more minutes left in the show to get to, but I'll sound off on that and so much more from Rio on tomorrow's show. All right. Well, just 3 minutes left. Time flies when you're having fun. And I tell you what, for these two young individuals, time has certainly flown because we've had a lot of fun throughout this summer, and we have had both of them doing one outstanding job week in and week out here on Current Sports Radio as well as Current Sports TV. Their names are, of course, Sierra Pryor and Bria Thompson. Their internship ends right now, today, in a matter of 3 minutes, folks.
Oh, okay.
So what I do with my interns, I have you guys come on Current Sports Radio and just talk about your memories from this summer and what you guys learned from this internship, if anything. I don't know if you learned anything. Yeah. And moving forward. So we'll start first with Sierra.
Well, first, I'd like to say thank you for this opportunity and having us on here. I actually learned a lot, like more than I actually expected, like with the camera, with behind the scenes, the editing, everything that you have to put in work to become the best. And I also just, like, my favorite memory would have to be when we were doing the Diamond Classic and I was freezing my little butt off. And I was like, all right, next time I have to come prepared, bring a coat, a jacket, you know. But I actually enjoyed this entire summer with you, so it was really fun.
Well, good stuff. And Sierra, what are you going to be doing now? Your senior year at
senior
Michigan
year.
State, right?
Okay, yes. Actually starting track the first week of school, so back to training and studying and training and training and studying.
Wow, yeah. And Sierra Pryor, she's a member of the Michigan State track and field team as well. Well, great stuff, Sierra. And I'll be seeing you throughout the entire year. I'm sure.
Yes,
now,
you will.
Hailing from Millikan University, we have Bria Thompson, who will be leaving this week, I believe, to back to Illinois.
Friday, I'm out. I'm leaving.
Wow.
I'm packing up all my things, and I'm headed back for senior year. I can't wait to get it done and accomplish some really great things as far as broadcast journalism as well.
What'd you learn this summer, Bria?
I learned that it's okay to mess up, because I don't know how many times we did a stand-up over and over and over and over and over again. But I loved every moment of it, to a point where me and Sierra actually got to put together our own sports show with the other internship that we're doing called Sea Breeze Sports. And we also, like, copied your format a little bit because we just love your show so much. And so we kind of made it our own and, like, took a spin on it. So mess ups is okay. Just keep practicing and practice your craft. Honestly,
I love that. Well, imitation is the highest form of flattery. All right, remember that. All right. Well, that does it for this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We'll have a jam-packed show tomorrow, folks. Don't miss the lick of it. All right. Have a fantastic afternoon, and as always, be easy, people.